All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this moment. Would you lift your hands in this house tonight or this morning and just say, Lord, thank you. Just go ahead and open your own mouth. Say, thank you, Lord. We welcome you. We already know that you're here because the promises say that where there are two or three gathered in your name, here you are right in the midst of us. We know that you are in the midst, our midst. So we thank you, Lord, for that. And we bless you. And we know, God, that you have good things in store for us. And so we bless your name. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Acts chapter 4? Pastor Joe had a message on take note, and we've been talking about the presence of God. Amen? You guys remember, know that we've been talking about that. You've been talking about it. And I want to tell you that as a young boy, I think I shared this last time I was here, I got saved at age 8 years old on a Thursday night right after the Cosby Show. After the Cosby Show was over, my mother knelt beside me, beside her bed, and she led me to the Lord. And it was after that, because I'd been in church my whole life. You know, they would say every time I was there, every time the doors were open, we were there opening the doors. So we were there all the time. And so I don't remember a time where I wasn't in church, but there's something about going to church. And then there's also something about being the church. He didn't just call us to go to church. We'd also called us to be the church to the unchurched. That's our saying. That's what I end every message with is let's go out and be the church to the unchurched. That's what I say every time. Our prayer meetings and everything we do, because God has called us to go out and be the church to those who are not have go in church. And so the truth is that God, but we can't go out without the presence of God. There is something that separates us from everybody else, that separates us from every other religion, every other dignitary, whatever you would call what people look up to. It separates us because we have the very essence and presence of the living God that's on the inside of us. And so that separates us from everybody else. I remember being youth pastor telling our kids that I'm so glad that I don't serve a God, a statue that's looking at me crazy when I pray to it and looking back at me and it can't answer me. But when I talk to God, he talks back to me. When I pray, he hears me. When I stand before him, he's there. I know that my God reigns on high and that I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know in whom I have believed that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. And so because of that, I serve a living God, and he's the God of the today. And so just like my father just said, some of you have you've come through 2020 and you like, good riddance. I'm so ready for 2020 to be over, looking forward to 2021. But the truth is that some of you may be year shy. You've heard of being gun shy. I was gun shy after I had my accident. They were like, you want to go hunting? I'm like, no. Not necessarily want to go hunting. Do you know how to operate a gun? Do you like black people? You know, just certain things I just ask now when I go hunting with people before I go. You know, some of my friends, like, you want to go shooting? Let me frisk you first before you come into my house, you know. I don't just go with anybody. But the truth is that some of you may be year shy because you don't know what 2021 is going to bring you. You don't know exactly what it has in store for you. And the truth is that's why we have to be a people of the word and trust in the word, because the Bible says that the grass withers and the flower fades, but my word will remain forever. It is forever settled in heaven. The Bible says this, that as the rain flows and the snow falls upon the earth, so my word goes out and accomplishes everything that I set out for it to accomplish. Not only that, but the Bible says that I watch over my word to perform it. That means that when he says something, when it comes out of his mouth, it's not just coming out of his mouth, but it will not fall to the earth void. It will not return unto me void, but it'll accomplish everything that I set out for it to accomplish. So here's what I want to tell you, that whatever God has says over you in 2021 will come to pass because he watches over his word to perform it. Can I get a witness in here this morning? I know that my God, whatever he says he will do, he's going to do. And his seal of approval, his stamp of approval is his spirit, his presence will go with us. Oh, I remember Moses having a conversation with God, and this is what he said. He says, God, he said, because the Bible says that he spoke with Moses as one who speaks with his friend. And he said, God, will you be going with us? And he goes, no, I'm going to stay right here on this mountain. He goes, I'm not going to go then. We're not going to get off this mountain. We're not moving from this mountain. Because if your presence don't go before us, then we're not going. Can I tell you this? We need some people in the house of God that will say, unless your presence goes before us, unless you go before us, God, we're not moving off of this place. I can't go forward in anything. I can't do anything without your presence. I won't go anywhere. I'm tired of doing it on my own. I need your presence, your essence, everything about who you are. And Moses said, I'm not going, because he said this, how else are they going to know that we are the people of God? How else are they going to know that I serve the living God unless you go before us? And that is why we need the presence of the living God. And I'm telling you what, some of you that are watching online, and if you're here this morning, you don't have him, you don't know him, you can know him today. You can know him. I'm telling you what, even as 8 years old, I knelt down, and I'm telling you, I wasn't thinking about the Cosby Show. I wasn't thinking about anything. I was thinking about Jesus. Oh, he came in at 8 years old and changed my life. Somebody's like, what can he do for 8 years old? Well, I started preaching at 12 years old, 13 years old. I was preaching because I was sold out. I was sold out to God at 13, 14 years old. I did my first crusade when I was 14 years old. It was horrible. It was the worst message I ever preached. I still got the cassette tape. I listen to it sometimes to be like, Lord, you brought me from a mighty long way. Ooh, y'all don't know nothing about that. But anyway, I have come a long way. Anyway, but the truth is that you have too. You laughing, but you know where you were before you found God, before he found you, where you lost before you found him. That song that said, I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found, because his grace is still amazing. His power is still real. His peace is still tangible, and his love is still real, and he's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the bright and morning star. He is our King. Amen. Let's read the scriptures this morning. This is what it says in verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now, so I want to stop it there for a second, because you need to see this, because the statements that are following, you need to understand. When they saw the boldness, how many of you know we need boldness in this time right now? Because some of you are just like, isn't this week inauguration? We don't know what's going to happen. What? You never, somebody wonder. You, this is what I love about church, folks. We come in, good morning, hallelujah, how was your week? Oh, it was so good. But you know there's a gnawing in your spirit that you ain't said nothing about, and that is, you know the inauguration is this week. I don't know what's going to happen. Some of y'all just been watching the news. I had to turn the news off. I have to turn the news off. Turn it off, and I turn on in the spirit to find out what the news is going on from heaven, because I believe the report of the Lord. Amen. I'm choosing to believe what God is saying over. Because some of y'all, if you stay there and watch the news, I'm telling you, be depressed. Amen. They got no good news going on right now. Meanwhile, in Dallas, Texas, you know, they didn't win again. They got a new coach. So I need to know that kind of stuff. But I don't need to know about what's going on in the White House. I need to know what's going on in the big house, what's going on in heaven. I want to know and turn on in that. But we need boldness in this time. If we are going to be the church to the unchurched, if we're going to be Trinity Dallas and have multiple campuses, which we are, and what God is going to do through us, then we're going to have some boldness now. We're going to have to say some things that haven't been said. We're going to have to do some things that haven't been done. And to do that, we're going to have boldness. Here's what it says. It says, now when they saw, they were looking, they saw something in them, the boldness of Peter and John, and then they perceived. They saw something, and then they perceived something. They perceived that they were uneducated. We say this in the projects. They were uneducated and untrained. And see, this is where I want to stop, because I want to tell you this. Some people will see you and they'll see something good, but then also they'll pick out the bad things about you. And so they'll try to say, yeah, you know, that they got boldness. I see that. But I also see that they don't look like they have what it takes to be to take the next step in life. They don't seem to have what it takes to move on to what God has in store. They don't seem to. They will make assumptions about you that isn't true. That's why you have to know in whom you have believed. That's why you have to know in whom yourself, and to take off all the labels that the world has put on you, and you have to know who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can't step out in boldness if you don't know who you are in Christ. Amen? I remember as a kid, some of you guys remember, I'm about to show my age right now, but I used to watch cartoons on Saturday morning. Mighty Mouse. Do you guys remember Mighty Mouse? Here I come to save the day. You know, he would, and Tarzan, that white man swinging from vines. I think he should have been black. But anyway, the truth is that I would watch those cartoons, and I would think of myself, man, if I could just be Mighty Mouse, if I could be in all these other cartoons, I'd watch them all. But the truth is when I got saved, I have the best power that you could ever have, the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what I know is true. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me and quickens my mortal body. And because of that, it reigns on the inside of me. I can step out and do what he's called me to do and be who he's called me to be. Do you hear what I'm telling you? You are unstoppable. No one can stop you. No one can keep you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment will condemn. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. He delights in your way, and though you fall, you shall not utterly be cast down, because the Lord will uphold you with his hand. You have the mind of Christ. Not only that, you're seated in heavenly places. The Bible says, have a seat. Take a seat in your heavenly place. Look down and see a different perspective, because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. You know, it's time for people to take up and they can perceive. They'll pick out. They'll be like, that person's untrained. They're not educated. Men. And then they marveled. Why do they marvel? Because they realized something. That they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. I'm going to share something with you. My wife and I have been married for 22 years. She knows me like a book. In May, we'll be married 23 years. I mean, she knows me. I mean, we're still having fun at 22 years, and, you know, we're just talking to my father. We're trying to downsize. Why? Because we want our kids out of the house. We have a motto at our house: thou shalt leave the house. Thou shalt go out with joy and onto the field, clapping there, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. They go, Dad, I don't think that's about us. I'm making it about y'all. Y'all are going to go out with joy. I'm sending you out with joy. Please go out. Please go out with joy. It's like, we thought you loved us. I do, but I want to do it from a distance. I don't want to turn. I got a son. His name is Luke. Y'all remember him here? He's bigger than me. He is humongous. That ain't even a word, but I have to say it. He is big. And I'm telling you what though, he's a son, and he doesn't have to come to me. He doesn't walk into my house and go, Father, I am hungry. Canst thou bid me to go into the refrigerator and make me and thine, if you want me to, a sandwich because I am hungry? No, he's a son. He busts up in a house, opens the refrigerator wide so that the light of the refrigerator is shining down on him as if from heaven. He reaches in and grabs everything that will make a sandwich, and even stuff that doesn't make a sandwich. I'm like, that's nasty. And he still makes a sandwich, and he's eating it. I go, hey, Luke. Hey. When he walks over, sits down and eats it. You know why? Because he's a son and he knows his place in the house. I'm telling you, it's time for you to know your place in the house. And not only that, God is saying, not only do you need to know your place in the house, but it's time for you to scoot up to the table and get everything that God has for you during this season, because you're going to need it for 2021 to walk in the power and favor of God and be able to step into the new with what God is saying. Why? Because God is doing a new thing in your midst. He's doing something that he's never done before, something that's unprecedented, something that's never heard of. How do you know, preacher? Because he says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what I have prepared for those who love him and called according to his purposes. You need to be encouraged in God right now, because there needs to be an expectation in your spirit right now. I'm going to step out into the new thing that God has for me. Why? Because I know they're going to know. They're going to know. What are they going to know? That I've been with Jesus. I've been with Jesus. Like I was saying a while ago, my wife knows me. She can tell when I've been around people from my hometown, Arkansas. She can tell. She goes, mm-hmm. I go, what's wrong with you? She goes, you must have been hanging around your parents. What do you mean? She goes, you got that draw back. You got that southern draw. And you're using verbs in wrong places. And you talk like you've been in Arkansas. I go, mm-hmm. I said, well, I can tell that you've been hanging and talking with your girlfriend from New Hampshire. She goes, how do you know? Because you start saying things like Pac de Ca and Harvard, and you start saying things like you're from Boston. She goes, I do not. See, I can see. I can hear it in your accent. You can tell. And you're laughing, but the truth is you can tell who you've been around by how you act. I know. You can tell by some of the people that you hang around with. You know how it is? That's why the Bible says to put on Christ. You got to put on Christ every day. You got to put off all that murmuring and complaining. Put off, and you know, you women know what I'm talking about, right? Before I came to you this morning, I put on cologne. You know how I do it? I spray a mist in the air and I walk through it like it's a glory cloud. I walk into it like, women know what I'm talking about. Can I get a witness, women? Y'all don't do that? Y'all, some of y'all are like, that seems kind of weird. Let me tell you what some of you put on clothes this morning. You put it on because you look good in it. You felt like you look good. I had to have my wife dress me because I sit on the bed with the kids. Mommy gonna make us look good today, ain't she? She's gonna make us look good. But the truth is that you got to put on Christ, because people need to see Jesus with skin on. They need to see Jesus on the inside. They need their lost and dying, hurting world. They don't know what to look to, but the Bible says this: looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. How are they going to see Jesus if they don't see Jesus in you? We can tell. They may not have what it takes on the outside. They may not look like they have what it takes. They hadn't been trained. But here's one thing we have to take note in, is that they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. They've been with him. And we can tell they smell like Jesus. They put him on this morning. They sprayed him in there. They walked through the mist of him. I'm telling you, they walk in, and you're saying that they walk with him. They talk with him. I can tell that they've been with Jesus. Why? How is it? And this is how they know. They go, why is it? You should be afraid. You should be, do you hear what's going on? Do you know about the inauguration? Do you hear what's going on? Do you know who's coming in? Why are you so peaceful? Because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rules and guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Well, what do you mean? Well, I know the Prince of Peace. Do you know him? Do you know the Prince of Peace? Some of your girlfriends will be like, girl, why are you so peaceful? Girl, I know the Prince of Peace, girl. I'm telling you what, I know him. That's what I'm saying. It's time for some of y'all to listen. This is what we used to have a saying when I was growing up. It said, so we sing that little song, Little Sally Walker, sitting in the saucer, rise, Sally, rise, wipe your weeping eyes, let your backbone slip, put your hand on your hip, and tell the devil to zip his lip, because I'm getting ready to take a trip with God, and he's going to take me places that I've never gone before. I know y'all don't know nothing about that. It was when they was doing the little, but I'm telling you, some of y'all need to know in whom you have believed, that God is getting ready to take you in places. We don't know about this other stuff, but here's what we know. They've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. They marveled because they've been, and this is what they said. They said, seeing a man, verse 14, they seen a man who had been healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. God's going to use you in ways that he's never used you before. And when he does, they won't be able to say nothing. They're going to be quiet. He will shut the mouths of the gainsayers. He'll shut the mouths of the lions. And all those people that have been saying stuff and been trying to talk, he'll shut their mouths. They won't have nothing to say. Why? Because a notable miracle had been done. Something had been done. He wants to use us. So if we want the presence, here's what I'm saying. Less of me and more of you, God. Less of me, more of you. Even John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that you can increase in me. Not, Jesus prayed the perfect prayer, not my will, but your will be done. Not what I want. Because if it was what I want, there'd be a lot of things that'd be changing, right? That's why I'm glad I'm not God. You guys better be glad I'm not God too. But I know that in my God that I can trust him. And so that's what we do. He's called us to do. And he said that they could say nothing against it. And I want to skip on down. And here's what it said. Look at verse verse 18, it says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Even this is what I'm saying. A notable miracle had been done. People's lives had been changed. Something had broken out in that place that hadn't been done before. And the people still would say, shut your mouth. Do not speak the name of Jesus. That's what I'm telling you. If you think about it, whatever's coming, we'll be ready for. Are you going to stand against whatever the enemy is saying? Are you going to do what God says? Will we be a people who will stand in the face of adversity and say, I am not going to listen to the words of men, but I have to do what God is telling me to do. So this is that. Don't speak. They commanded not to speak the things. They said, listen, be quiet. Don't speak and teach the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. This is what I'm praying over Trinity Church, that the presence of God would be such a fire that burning on, kindling on the inside of you. Some of you be like, well, I don't know if it's a fire, just an ember. I'm praying that the breath of the Holy Spirit would blow on those embers and ignite a fire on the inside of you that you have not had in a long time. Oh, you know, you ever been in a campfire and you kind of smell it? You'd be like, oh, it's good. But then all of a sudden, you blow on it a little bit and all of a sudden it starts into a fire. And then that little kindle flame turns into a big fire. And then all of a sudden, it's a big, big, big fire. See, I'm from Arkansas. We burn things in Arkansas. We don't just put it in a dump. We have a dump here. We burn stuff in Arkansas. There's something about us. We like fire. We don't call it a fire. We call it a far. That's what we call it in Arkansas. It's like, that's a far right there. And so the truth is that I'm praying that a far light on the inside of you and that far of the Holy Spirit burns so bright and burns so hot that people will come from afar to warm themselves by the fire. And all of a sudden, they catch on fire. And when they go to work, they'll catch on fire. And when they go to their families, they'll catch on fire. And when they go to the store, they'll catch on fire. And when they go to Tom Thumb, they'll catch on fire. And they'll go clean up on aisle 9. Yes, because God has broken out and revival has broken out. And God, arise and let his enemies be scattered. Arise, shine, for the light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And it's time for us to step into the light of what God has for us. Do you hear me? I'm praying that for you. I'm praying that for this church. I'm praying that you go further than you've ever gone before. The prayers that I've written down for Trinity is that they go further than they've ever gone before. That God would lengthen their borders and strengthen their lengthen their tent pegs and expand their borders. That you would go further into Dallas than you've ever gone before. I'm prophesying to you, go further than you've ever gone before. Any dry bones in the place, rise up and be an army on its feet. Step out into the deep. Go places you've never gone before. Think bigger than you've ever thought before. Go dream bigger than you've ever dreamed before. Why? Because my God is an all-consuming fire, and he is the one that'll burn up all the dross, but at the same time, let that fire spread all over this metroplex. And use you in ways that you've never been used before. When they saw them, they said, there's something about you. We don't know what it is. We know this. You're not trained necessarily in our ways. You're not educated in our ways. But we know this. You've been with somebody. Yeah. And apparently, this someone that you've been with has changed your life because you have this boldness about you. You have this amazing peace about you. You have this strength on the inside of you. Where does that come from? Well, we've been with Jesus. They didn't even know, that's not true. They didn't have to say it. They knew it. Didn't have to say a word. They knew it. They go, we know who you've been with. Just like my wife said, I know who you've been with. They know it. You have that glow about you. You got that peace about you. You got that thing on you. Yep, I can tell. I know, and some people in my friends can tell me what kind of music you got. I know you've been listening to gospel. You know, you've been listening to gospel music. Like, girl, how you know? She goes, you coming in here singing. She goes, I know it. You know, and so I can tell you've been listening to some of the Maverick City, and you've been listening to some of the, she'll know. She goes, I know you've been listening to a while because you're singing those songs. And so you know what? It's different because when I'm singing those songs and I'm worshiping him, the Bible says, I will keep you in perfect peace. Yeah. that peace is perfect, whose mind is stayed on me, stayed on him. I'll keep you in perfect peace. Where do I go? Where do I go? I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. If your mind is stayed on him, I'll keep you in perfect peace. Some of you are looking for clarity and looking for direction. And the Bible says, I will show you the path of life. Okay, good. I need that. It's in the Word of God. It says that. I will show you the path of life. Where do I find it? The next verse says, in my presence, there's fullness of joy. And at my right hand, there's pleasures evermore. Yeah, that's good. But tell me the path of life. That's what I want to know. How do I get the path of life? In my presence, there's fullness of joy. And at my right hand, there's pleasures evermore. I get the pleasures evermore, and I get the all of that. But how to just show me the path, God. I want to see the path. In my presence, there's fullness of joy. And at my right hand, there's pleasures evermore. You get the pleasures evermore and the fullness. You're not worried. You're walking your purpose and the path of life because you're walking with him. Amen? Last thing I'm going to share with you. Last time I shared with you about when I got shot. You know, that was as traumatic as that was for me. Imagine my wife, Vanessa, getting that phone call. She is 6 months pregnant with our baby girl. I told you she was pregnant. So I'm shot, laying there, and she goes, she gets a phone call. The phone call. They're fighting over who's going to call my wife and tell her that I'd been shot. Nobody wants that job. They don't know if he's going to live. So they call her. And she answers the phone. She knows where I'm at. And they say to her, your husband's been shot. She goes, is this a joke? They said, no, he's been shot. She goes, okay. If you know my wife, this would be the last time I come without her. She's cooking for 25 people. She's a chef. She loves to cook, as you can tell. I used to be skinny and white. You guys make me feel bad when you laugh at me when I say things like that. She gets a phone call, and she says this. She goes, they said it's not a joke. He's been shot. She goes, who shot him? They told him. They go, which gun was it? Now, my wife, because we have a lot of guns, they said, which gun was it? So they told her it was an AK-47 hollow point, 6.2 bullet that's designed to break up on impact. And so she said, okay. She goes, thank you for telling me. So after I get back, I asked her, I said, honey, when you got that phone call, because I'm thinking there's going to be this big revelation that she said that God came over her. And she, you know, I was waiting for that. I said, honey, what was the first thought that came to your mind when you heard that I've been shot? She was like, does that Negro have life insurance? That's what she said. She goes, I added the Negro part. She goes, does he have life insurance? I go, really? That was the first thing that came to your mind. She goes, if God gonna take you out, you know him. I wanna have the money. If he's gonna take you out, go on. Now you're gonna be taken care of. I wanna know if I'm gonna be taken care of. And he's cheering. I want to make sure they're taken care of. I go, really? You didn't think, oh, my gosh, my husband. She goes, no. I was thinking, oh, my gosh, the money. Are we going to have? And she goes, but then, honey, peace came over me. I go, really? She goes, yeah. She goes, the peace of God. She goes, I can't explain it. I can't tell you about it. She goes, if you ask me to write an essay on it, I can't tell you. I have not the words for it. I can't put it into words. But there is a peace that came over me. And I knew that I was going to be all right. Not only did I know I was going to be all right, but I knew you were going to be all right. And she goes, this peace, she goes, if you told me to put it in words, I can't explain it. But I'm telling you what, I go, what'd you do next? She goes, I went and took a bath. I took a bath. I let Calgon take me away, and I sat in that bathtub, and she goes, and I just rejoiced, and I worshiped, and I praised the Lord because I know that he's going to take care of everything. So here's what I tell you what. So I want to tell you, you need to take a bath. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says that my God will raise a standard up against him. You need to take a bath. What are you talking about? How do I take a bath? The Bible says that he'll wash us with the water of the word. Some of you need to take a bath in the word of God. When all of that junk, all of of that gunk tries to stick to you, when all of that negativity tries to stick to you, when everything else tries to bring fear upon you, take a bath in the Word of God and let Him wash off all of that mess and all of those things that would try to keep you from the very presence of God. She goes, I did. She goes, I knew I was going to be taken care of. And she goes, they offered to take me to the hospital that night. And she goes, nope, I'm going to wait and go see him in the morning. So when I came to, she was the first face that I saw. Woo, what a face it was. I was like, oh, I'm alive. And there's my wife. And so she said, hey, honey. I go, hey. And so she goes, you almost died. I go, I know. She goes, but you're still here. I want to tell you this morning, you're still here for a reason. God has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. He has good things in store for you. So if you'll grab a hold of him, the presence of God, let people understand and know that you're not walking in your own accord. You're not going this alone. You're not walking by yourself. But the very presence and essence and the power of the living God is on the inside of you. And he is already prepared. He's ordered your steps. Every step you take, you're walking with him. Every decision you make, every place you go, I'm not doing this on my own. Jesus said, I'm not here on my own accord. I speak only what I hear him say. I do what I see him doing. We'll take that stance. I'm telling you, we'll go places that you didn't even think we could go. Next, the end of the year, Pastor Joe will be standing up here talking about, I can't wait to tell you how many souls were saved this year. I can't wait to tell you about how many baptisms we had this year. Maybe telling you about a new campus. Maybe telling you about expansion and all the things. Because I'm sowing seeds. I'm believing, Pastor Joe, I'm believing that you're going to go further and deeper and go further than you ever could imagine. We've talked about, we're going to dream together. Sojourn and Trinity, you're going, we're dreaming together. God's got good things in store for the church. And so if you're here this morning for the first time, you're like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be. You are not here by coincidence. If you're watching online, you're not here by accident. You didn't just scroll through. God brought you to. You were like, well, oh, there's a brother on stage over there at the Trinity Church. Yes, I'm here to tell you today, and I want you to know that God loves you, and this is a great place for you to throw down roots and raise your family and grow and be discipled in Christ and do what God's called you to do. We believe, Sojourn Church believes in this church. We believe in Pastor Joe and Pastor Nancy. We believe in you. And I stopped by today to tell you that you need to have a smile on your face and a song in your heart, a joy in your spirit, a pep in your step, a gleam in your eye, because you're the people of God and you have the presence of God that lives on the inside of you. We sing that song, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Y'all didn't sing it like that. Y'all sang it like, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. That's how y'all sang it. Black folks didn't sing it like that. I don't mean to turn. I'm just trying to help you. We didn't sing it like that. We said, this little. Let me tell you why we sang it the way we did. Because black people can hold it out a little bit longer than white people. We go, this little light of mine. We could do that kind of stuff, you know. And y'all just like, we just want to sing the song. We're not trying to hold anything out. We're trying to sing. The purpose of singing that song was to know that that light cannot go out, will not go out during this time. I was singing that song to our when I was a children's church pastor at Sojourn. It's the last thing I'm going to tell you. I was singing that song, and then got to the part where it said, hide it under a bushel. And a little girl said to me, she goes, Pastor Chris? I said, yes. She said, one, if you put it under a bushel, it'll catch fire, and then the bushel catch fire, and then all of a sudden, you'll start a big fire, and then you have a forest fire, and then all of a sudden, fire trucks come, and then all of a sudden, I go, that's the point. If you try to hide it, it'll burn so bright, it'll catch other things on fire, and other people come watch it burn. You catch on fire for him, other people will come and watch you burn. Let me pray for you. Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness and mercy. You're a good God in every way. And I'm praying, Lord, that this message is not just would fall on deaf ears. I'm praying, Lord, that people heard this message and they'll make a commitment. Right now, if you believe that God is wanting to bring about boldness in your life, you just say, God, I want more boldness. Just raise your hand right where you are. I want more boldness. I want to be bold because the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. He says that. I didn't make that up. That's what I love about preaching scripture. I didn't make it up. I'm just preaching what I believe the word of God says. I want boldness and Jesus and that peace. Some of you are worried. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, everybody who has their hands up, I'm praying for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Praying for boldness. Praying for your power, your anointing. Everything that you have, Lord, I'm thankful for. You're doing it by the power of a miracle. I love and bless you, Lord. This is a new season, Trinity. This is a new season. This is a new, the Bible says, this is what God said, I'm doing a new thing. Shall you not see it? Can you not see it? And we thank you for that. And we love and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Joe.